folks to do lots of shuffling, and some have doubled the commute time to work now.
Now I got to switch over from one train to another train because you can't come in to Hoboken on a Hoboken train or switch trains, get off at Liberty Park. It's just real crazy since this happened.
You never know when you'll be able to get to work now because there's no set timetable.
And one guy told me he didn't have time to talk because he was racing to catch the ferry after getting off a bus here at the Hoboken bus terminal, Scott Pringle, New Jersey.
A group of protesters in El Cajon, California, now under arrest after refusing to follow directions of police officers. Jason Campidonia has the full story.
Officials say the 12 demonstrators were arrested because they refused to leave a protest that started Friday night in El Cajon. The people were protesting the shooting death of Alfred Alongo, the unarmed black man who pointed a vaping device at police in a shooting stance before officers opened fire. During the demonstration, a fight broke out between protesters and police heard someone was leaving to go get a gun. That's when they tried to disperse the crowd, but dozens of adults refused to leave. They now face unlawful assembly charges. Jason Campidonia, San Diego.
A new study shows that 41% of Americans don't know who the vice presidential nominee is for the Republicans. 46% can't identify the Democrat. USA Radio News.
And this is Georgine Trinkle, your host here at Hot in Hunterdon. Today is October 3rd. And I was trying to get some more information on the New Jersey Transit to see where we were with the crash last week and how things were moving along in their investigation. So I can't believe quite really that it is October here and we're in the studio. I feel like we were just starting our summer and now we are in the fall month of October and getting ready for some pretty scenery and some beautiful foliage. But in the meanwhile, things are getting more heated across the country when we're talking about police and community relations and some other critical things that help us to build stronger communities. So today, we're going to devote our show to talking with a retired police officer, former retired captain, and we're going to talk about some of the challenges and accomplishments in his career and ways we can support the police today in our community. What means something? What's important? What does have an impact? And of course, we're going to tie this all to some information and facts about police suicides, which are unfortunately a very high number and compared to the rest of the population, also very high. Some statistics show that New Jersey has the highest rate of police suicides in the country and has for the past several years. But truly, those numbers aren't being captured and statistically looked at on a regular basis. So we're going to talk about some of those facts when we come back. But first, you know, we do have to pay the bills around here. So stay with us.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com. The studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
And this is Georgine Trinkle, your host, and we have the weather to do. And I'm so glad when we started the program here, I had some technical difficulties here. I couldn't hear what you were all hearing when we went live. So now everyone is on board here. I think we can have a much better quality producing sound here. And I want to get right to our weather. You know that I do not like when there are W's in our weather forecast for things such as warnings. Weather warnings are usually bad, or H's for hazardous weather. So what we have today is a hazardous weather condition, and we're looking at really this activity that's going on for a hurricane. I don't know if anyone saw that, but We're looking at a hurricane called Matthew that's in the Caribbean. And it looks to me like we really don't have to worry about this for several days, if at all. It doesn't look like it will impact the United States, although we had a situation Labor Day weekend when they said that we would have a hurricane that would impact us. And I know I changed my plans back and forth a few times. And in the end, no one really knew what to do with the hurricane quality weather. So we'll just have to play that by ear. But in the meantime, what I can tell you is that we finally got to see the sun, and it was a long and lonely week without the sun. So we're glad to see that it's back here peeking out from the clouds. It's a beautiful afternoon with a high of about 74 degrees. It doesn't look like rain. It doesn't feel like rain. It really felt good to have the warmth of the sun. I took my long sleeve shirt off so I could feel the sun, and it was pretty fantastic. They are saying a 20% chance of isolated showers, but I am here in Flemington, and I do not think that we're going to have to worry about that. Tonight, there's a 30% chance of scattered showers. We could possibly have a cloudy day tomorrow, but it looks like the rain holds off with a high of 67. Tomorrow night, we have a low of 51, and it's still a mostly cloudy day tomorrow. So Wednesday, it's looking a little bit better, mostly sunny with a high of 68. I guess, I like to give you tips of when we could call in sick or have a beach day. So this time it looks like Thursday would be the sunniest day, but Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, really call in any of those days. The temperatures range between 68 and 72, and the evening temperatures are about 52. So we're going to have to do another commercial, and when I come back, I want to tell you all about the run that's going on this Sunday for Jugtown Mountain, Conquer the Mountain. I hope you're all going to sign up. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Stay with us.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And this is Georgine Trickle, your host at Hot and Hunterdon. And we got through the weather and a couple commercials. We'll repeat the weather around 4:30 again, so everyone knows what to do. If the umbrella should come with you, or you could leave it in the car, maybe quick run. So speaking of runs, I want to just mention this Sunday is the Conquer the Mountain 5K, which is right up Jugtown Mountain. It is a great course, a lot of fun. And the proceeds all go to emergency and first responders. So hopefully everyone can look on Google or Facebook and just do Conquer the Mountain 5K. And hopefully we'll see you. I know I'm looking forward to that run. It's one of the annual 5Ks I like to do to support our first responders. And supporting first responders are very important to me for a lot of different reasons. And I hope that they should be important to you as well. Might not always know what our heroes look like, but sometimes we actually do. And I think with our anniversary of September 11th, 15 years this year, heard a lot of tributes and recollections from some of the first responders that took no notice of their own personal risk to their health, finding out later that the EPA was issuing notices that the air was safe and a safe quality. And we know now it wasn't, and I think any first responder who was doing rescue operations would say they never gave it a thought. They were just concerned about doing what they could to help others. And that is really a theme we see over and over by people in uniform every day, if it's our military, if it's our law enforcement. Right now, I'd like to introduce someone on the phone who is a retired captain from law enforcement, and he agreed to come on today so we could talk to him a little bit about what it's like to have a career in law enforcement, what some of the highlights were. Jim, can you hear us? Let's see if we have Jim on the phone here. Hold on here. All right, let's see. Jim, are you with us?
Yes.
Excellent. All right, we got you live here on Hot and Hunterdon. Thanks so much for being a guest with us here on October 3rd to talk about what it's like to risk your life in a career. Like what goes through your mind when you're thinking about a career and you pick one in law enforcement. So thanks for sharing your thoughts with us today. We always like to really talk about our heroes, and you know, certainly our heroes are those that wear the uniform, if it's for our military or for law enforcement. So what made you go into law enforcement? Do you remember?
Well, law enforcement, like firefighting or any emergency service, it's not a, you don't pick the career picks you. It's something that you can't picture yourself doing anything but. And I think that's what motivates most law enforcement officers to become police officers or federal agents or whatever, you know, career path they take.
So you think that most of the time it's a clear path people have. They know they want to serve. It certainly is a giving environment, and it's a job that you give more than you get back. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, you do get personal satisfaction from, you know, things that you do on a day-to-day basis, you know, but it hasn't always been a career where people chose. Years ago, you know, police officers became police officers. They were big. they were civil service jobs, and that was the type of law enforcement officer you had. Then they started becoming more of a well-paid job, and a lot of college graduates took the job because it was a high-paying job rather than, you know, doing something else that started at a lower, you know, salary. And they were basically didn't last in the career. So the police officers we have now are police officers that definitely were meant to be police officers. And we have outstanding police officers today.
We sure do. And I was driving on North Pompton Turnpike yesterday, Jim, and I saw a blue stripe down the road. And I thought, this is great. I hope that every community gets their municipality to put a blue stripe down the center of the road. Do you think that makes an impact for law enforcement in their community when they see, I think it was, I always want to call it Watchung Park. It used to be called West Patterson, and now it's called Woodland Park.
Yeah.
I saw that they had a little bit of a campaign where they had lawn signs that had, we support our law enforcement in this community, and a lot of residents put up those lawn signs. Do you think it makes the police officers feel any better that there's some people trying to show support?
Oh, absolutely. Anything you can do to make someone feel better about doing the job, especially in, you know, the climate that we have now, it helps police officers. Any support is welcome, of course, but, you know, that is really, that's touching.
That's good to hear, because I always wonder, you know, you're not putting some blue paint down the center of the road doesn't have a direct impact anywhere, not something necessarily we can measure, but it makes me feel better to be in those communities where I know that they're thinking about the difficult jobs that people have every day to protect and serve. And I wondered if something like that is welcome, even though we can't measure it.
No, I'm sure it's welcome. I'm sure every law enforcement officer is happy when they see that, you know, that shows support for them.
And with your choices in law enforcement, is it looking back on your career? You're retired now. I mentioned before you came on air that you're a retired captain. Is it something you look back on and say, you know, I'm so pleased that I chose this path, or this path chose me, and this is, this is rewarding, or it was fulfilling? Or is it one of those times when you look back and say, you know, I should have left sooner, or I should have gone into some other career?
No, I only look back on it with fond memories. You know, it's what I wanted to do. It's what my father did. You know, my son does. And basically that's what I was meant to do.
So we're talking about three generations of law enforcement in your family?
Well, actually, I have a nephew, too, with the federal government.
Uh-huh. And you have perhaps maybe a fourth generation to come?
I don't know. I hope so.
But it is something that you encourage your offspring to go into a career in law enforcement?
No, he did that all on his own. That's what he wanted to do. Yeah.
Well, he, I'm sure, had some very good stories growing up from you coming home and sharing at least a little bit of your work, Jim. That's one of the issues that I try to get across with the work that I do with law enforcement, that it's not so easy to process your day when your day has you dealing with such sometimes really horrendous situations, and it's not always easy to express yourself. And there's a lot of good literature and books about this. You know, we're coming off of a event on Friday in Phillipsburg to remember a police officer who committed suicide and to bring a little awareness. And it is a job that where you may feel fulfilled on most days, it's also a job that sometimes gives you some terrible memories. You see things that no one really should have to see. And how we process those things and have a balance and enough people to talk to is really, really important. We're going to talk to you a little bit more about that. But Jim, I have to pay the bills, so I hope you'll stay with me as I do some of our commercial breaks here, and then we'll be back to talk more about your career in law enforcement and what kind of advice you'd give to people today going into this field. Okay?
That it has to be something that's in your heart. It can't just be a job. It's not a job. It's your life. It becomes your life.
It's a calling.
It's a calling.
Okay, we're going to talk about that philosophy and some other things. We're going to do a commercial break. Just stay with us. This is Georgine Trinkle, your host here at Hot in Hunterdon.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And this is Georgine Trinkle, your host here at Hot in Hunterdon, and I'm on the phone talking to Jim, a retired captain from law enforcement, and we're talking about, specifically about the path that people today go into law enforcement, and they go into law enforcement because they feel it. It's a calling, and it's something that you're going into knowing risks and knowing that there's not a lot of public support right now. And Jim mentioned that his dad was in law enforcement, and his child went into law enforcement. And who knows, he's encouraging other generations still to go in because it seems like he had a lot out of his career. He had a lot of great experiences, and he had the ability to have had a lot of impact. Do you want to share something with us, Jim, that made you realize that the law enforcement was really the right path for you to be on? Did you have any aha moments in your career, or training a new police officer where you felt, okay, this is really, if there's a spiritual entity, this is where my path was supposed to be and I found it?
Well, it was more or less you hit the ground running. It's just little things that you do, saving lives, performing CPR, things of that nature.
Now, I seem to recall that you had a lot of, you tend to be somewhere where you were needed quite often, and I happen to know that you had more than one CPR experience. And is that something that most police officers get called for and have the opportunity to literally save someone's life?
Yes, they do, whether or not they do it to the extent that I did, where I wouldn't use any, anything, protection on my mouth or whatever, because I wanted to save a person's life. And I did direct CPR, and basically it turned out that I never lost anyone. They'll always come upon a CPR situation.
And it's those experiences, Jim, when you, at that moment, and I won't give you the lecture about the direct CPR because you know that where that conversation would take us. But So in the cases where you did literally save someone from dying, and I know you've had experiences with the range and gamut of ages from infants up to adults, do you feel like when you have that experience that you just know that you were meant to be part of that?
Well, you realize why you were put on, on this earth at that point.
And that type of reinforcement, that makes it easier, do you think, to be able to manage some of the stressors that come with the job?
Well, it's knowing that this generation of people would not be going on if you had not been there. And that is the most fulfilling thing about being a police officer, or a firefighter, or an EMS, anything, knowing that you're saving lives, that this person will, a new generation will come because you were there.
And that is something that not everyone has the opportunity to experience that. But there are a lot of stresses that come in a job, and there's a lot of opportunities that come when you're in law enforcement. You have opportunities to really impact sometimes law, right, when you're doing testifying for something. And I know you had a pretty unique experience that helped to shape law and change the way charges were brought. I don't know if you want to share that today.
Reference to what?
To doing testimony to court cases and testifying.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Well, there was the one regarding pit bulls. A drug dealer from Passaic used a pit bull against the police when they were trying to execute a warrant. And the door slammed, the dog was behind the door, they never were able to execute the warrant, and they charged the man, but he let the dog starve to death in the backyard so that there would be no evidence of the dog, at which point I was contacted because I was a qualified expert on pit bulls, and I brought a dog into court and showed him the tenacity of the pit bull by, picking him up, holding him on a towel, spinning him around, and basically made case law that pit bulls can be used as a weapon against law enforcement officers as far as deadly force is concerned. And it exists all through the country now.
That's amazing, and that is quite an impact to be able to have proven that. Now, tell us, what made you bring a dog into the courtroom?
Well, I needed, since the dog, the pit bull that was used against the police officers was now dead, the owner having let it starve to death in the backyard, I took pictures of the dog's body laying there. I brought one of my own in, and I demonstrated the power and strength, of what a pit bull can do if it's used in a manner against police or in any sort of aggressive manner.
And the judge let you do that?
Oh, yeah.
That was really a great idea, because sometimes those things, you don't believe, if you don't know dogs or have experience with them, if you don't see that happening, you really don't know the extent of which the injury can be made by an animal. And that was pretty awful that the person let the dog starve to death outside. And the dog did actually die?
Yes, it died.
That's terrible. That is terrible. But I hope that you got a conviction?
Yes, he got 16 years.
And then once you were able to testify, then other attorneys were able to press charges based on this law, this case law.
Well, the other prosecutors and DA, yes.
Yeah, so we were... Which is really, that really has an impact, and it helps to make these sentences a little bit longer. Maybe people will think twice about doing that when they know that the charges can be that much more serious. So that was that in Passaic County?
Yes.
Yeah, it was very helpful that you actually had a dog that you were able to bring in the courtroom. And was that a jury trial?
Yes, it was actually for the jury.
Ah, okay. Okay, and a conviction is always nice, right?
Well, in this case, it was, yeah.
We were talking earlier about when you are involved with so many things in law enforcement and the justice system, you have to have ways to say, I'm going to follow this case, or I'm going to testify and then I'm going to walk out of here and I'm not going to be obsessed about it. You have to be able to put those barriers out there so that it doesn't take over your life.
Yeah, one of the key points about being a police officer is to never take the job personally. Okay, basically, it's your job, it's their job to break the law. It's your job to catch them. Once they're, you have them, it's the game's over. The court system takes it from there. You don't hold any grudges. You don't follow the case. Basically, you just move on to the next chapter.
And that's because you feel it's the only way you can really be able to have your life and have some distance and, still believe in the system?
No, it's a way of keeping yourself out of trouble by not becoming obsessed with the case.
Okay, obsession is bad.
Obsession is bad, yeah.
All right, I'm a little OCD, Jim, so I don't know. Obsession is bad. All right, well, I'm glad that you're here sharing some of those experiences with us and pointing out the behavior we should have for healthier lifestyles. Maybe I, too, even though I'm not in law enforcement over here, maybe you'll teach me a few things in this hour and I'll maybe take things a little less personally and be a little less stressed or obsessed. When we come back, we're going to talk about police suicides and some of the things that are going on here in New Jersey and what those stressors are and how we can prepare for them as a society. So stay with us. We do have a news break. We have to make sure everyone knows what's going on, and I'll be back with Jim. Stay with us.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The recent watchdog investigation concluded that acquiring radioactive ingredients was far too easy as mixing a cake.
New York Senator Chuck Schumer announcing the results of an investigation showing that a shell company could be set up by any individual and then obtain nuclear material. Those weapons could then be used to make dirty bombs and terror attacks. Schumer's calling for legislation to make it harder to get the nuclear material. The Supreme Court rejecting a number of items today, including a bid to revive a partisan investigation of Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. A lower court stopped a special prosecutor's investigation of possible unlawful cooperation between Walker's campaign and conservative PACs. The lawsuit was called a partisan witch hunt. The White House spokesman avoiding the Donald Trump tax issue.
I've not spoken to the president about this story.
Ernest did go on to talk about tax changes the president wants to make. USA Radio News.
First, Gary from accounting came in with the sniffles. Just a cold, he said, but it was not a cold. Then Janet breaks out in a heavy sweat. It's the flu. Then round and round the office it goes. But when it's your turn? Well, it's not going to be your turn because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're waiting for the coughing, sore throat, aching flu to pass, you can go to the big game. Score! Shield yourself with the flu shot from Rite Aid before it's too late. No appointments necessary, and it's free with most insurance. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Lawns love fall. They love backyard touch football and kids diving into leaf piles. But what lawns really love is fall's cool air and warm soil. That's why now is the time to use Scott's Turf Builder grass seed to help repair and thicken your lawn from the long summer. Scott's Turf Builder grass seed grows grass quicker, thicker, and greener, guaranteed. So pick up a bag today. Fall time is yard time with Scott's.
Hurricane Matthew, now one of the strongest storms in almost a decade, a Category 4 storm heading into Haiti. The National Hurricane Center says there's going to be severe problems because of the slow-moving nature of the storm.
Right now it's located in the Central Caribbean, and you can imagine a pace, well, almost in this case, like it's walking northward. So it's a very slow motion northward. So that just means it's going to take longer to get out of the Caribbean islands.
The Supreme Court has ruled it will not reconsider President Obama's executive actions on immigration. The High Court deadlocked in June and let a lower court order stand. The lower court had blocked the president's actions, which helped illegal immigrants remain in the U.S. The Supreme Court has been plagued with 4-4 decisions since the death of Antonin Scalia last February. Donald Trump on the campaign trail says America's cybersecurity is weak.
One of the very first things I will do is to order a thorough review of our cyber defenses and weaknesses, including all vital infrastructure.
More news online at usaradio.com. I'm Jason Wirt.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Recently, mortgage rates have dropped to the second lowest level in history. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is all the way down to 3.5%, APR 3.57%. It's a great time to refinance with Quicken Loans and save hundreds every month. So lock in this ultra-low rate before it goes back up. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
A police union in a major city is endorsing a presidential candidate for the first time in their history. Here's a story from correspondent Chris Barnes.
We've never had a president that has been so divisive. We've never had a president that has been so anti-police. Hillary Clinton doesn't show any signs of making that any better.
That's the president of the Cleveland Police Patrolmen's Association, which is endorsing Donald Trump for president the first time that organization has ever endorsed a presidential hopeful.
And I really do believe, you know, what we have to say on this matters.
As for Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton, she picks up the endorsement of Cleveland Cavaliers superstar LeBron James. I'm Chris Barnes.
A Mississippi senator says he's gaining support of his colleagues for a bill to help fight Alzheimer's disease. Here's the story.
It's been a year now since Mississippi Senator Roger Wicker introduced legislation in Washington aimed at finding a cure for Alzheimer's disease. And Wicker says there's growing support for his Eureka bill. and he's hoping it's going to pass by the end of the year. It would offer prize money when researchers reach major milestones in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of Alzheimer's and other dementias. Wicker says the same kind of competitions have been used for years to solve some of our most difficult problems. Randy Bell in Jackson.
The Democratic Attorney General of New York, who is a supporter of Hillary Clinton, has issued an order today telling the Donald J. Trump Foundation they can no longer do any fundraising. USA Radio News.
And we're back here in the studio. This is Georgine Trinkle, your host at Hot and Hunter. And today is October 3rd. I'm going to give you a quick little preview of the weather before we go back and talk to Jim, our retired captain, about really this anti-police state that we have somehow found ourselves in, the ways that we could change that and impact that, and why people choose a career in law enforcement. And when they've had a successful career where they feel satisfied in serving society and the community, what is it about those things that gives them such an impact? And, you know, we heard a little bit earlier about how you're able to literally save someone's life, and what better way to serve our community than to be able to do that. And when you're able to do it more than once, you certainly feel confirmation that you're in an amazing place, I guess. So our weather, it's really looking very nice out there today. I hope that you get out. I know I'm going to be doing the Jugtown Mountain Run as soon as I finish up here at the studio. It's 74 degrees, and really I'm just so happy to see the sun. I missed it very much, and it made me very happy to know that it is still there. I hoped that it was still there, but I wasn't exactly sure. So I don't think we have to worry about much of rain for this evening, except a 20% chance of isolated showers, but it is mostly cloudy still. Tomorrow with a high of 69. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're looking at similar weather patterns on all 3 days, 69 to 70 degrees and mostly sunny. So may try to get a beach day in this week. We'll have to see how that goes. I am teaching on Friday, so we're doing grants all day. So I don't know if anyone wants going to want to be in the classroom with me on Friday, but we have that going on. So Jim, I want to welcome you back and thank you again for spending your hour with us here at Hot and Hunter and to try to explain to my listeners here and to anyone who listens to this podcast why it is so difficult to be in law enforcement today, and really just to know that any attempt to try to support law enforcement is one that would be looked on favorably. So thanks for staying with us. So somehow we woke up and we found ourselves in this anti-police state, which is very unfortunate. I think most of people know about law enforcement mostly from what they see in television and the social media content, which is horrendous if we were going for accuracy. I know the two shows that people in law enforcement always tell me they feel are the way to show what they do every day is a show called Breaking Bad. I don't know if you've ever seen that one, Jim.
Yeah, I'm trying to know about it.
sometimes people say Hill Street Blues or NYPD Blue gives a more realistic impression of law enforcement and the day-to-day challenges of it. I don't know if you ever saw something on television and you said, oh, this does depict the highs and the lows. This depicts, you know, what I do and choose to do every day.
Well, my favorite show was Cagney and Lacey.
I love that show.
Because that was basically, you know, what law enforcement really is about. You don't go out every day and shoot people and get involved in these situations. You know, those are things that you don't want to happen. But there are good shows, but not the ones that are, you know, have all the shooting and violence in it. And, you know, same as with video games, they don't portray the way, you know, real life.
They don't. And do you think that people, like, look at those shows and do you think they feel like they understand law enforcement from those terrible impressions that really don't represent law enforcement?
No, they don't represent law enforcement. I mean, look at Training Day with Denzel Washington. I mean, these are fairy tales. This isn't what happens. You know, they don't get a partner that tries to set you up by smoking PCP, then killing a drug dealer, robbing his money. You know, and that's not the way it is.
Oh, and it scares me that people watch some of these things on television if they don't have the reality of life to balance that in with them. And you know what always cracks me up about you, Jim, is you're always running into people that are from the entertainment industry. So it's cute, I think, that you get to have, you know, opportunities to meet people who portray some people in on television shows. And I think we have to continue to put pressure on the media and on our sponsors of these different shows that have so much violence in them. And really, I mean, do we have to boycott things again? That those were some strategies that worked in the 80s. Maybe we need to do that again to say there's too much violence. There's too much unnecessary violence that is being shown, and it does have an impact on society.
Well, you know, kids start out with these video games, war games, where you're killing Germans, you're killing, you know, whatever it is, and they don't get the concept that these people don't, you shoot someone, they don't get up, okay? It's not a game. And when that mentality, you know, kind of like manifests itself into believing that, you know, oh man, it'd be so cool to be a soldier, it'd be so cool to be a cop. There's nothing cool about being a soldier. You know, you're there, you know, fighting for your country, serving your country. The last thing you want to do is get shot or shoot someone. You know, it's what you don't want. You want a peaceful end to means. But, you know, these games have been really detrimental to the way society views things.
I agree with you, Jim. And I know how we as a society address things as well has just come up recently in the news. And I know you say I could always ask you anything, but feel free not to answer since we're on air. But last week, there was the article about a school district, I won't say which one, that was suspending kinder K through second grade, out of school suspension. And I know a lot of people looked at those articles and just thought, you can have a zero tolerance policy, but is this how we're going to treat kindergarteners that should be in school? And are we really addressing things the way we should to resolve problems? Or are we just creating policy and then enforcing it and not really thinking about the impact, the longer term determinations that we are really showcasing to kindergartners, saying, okay, well, you violated this policy, you're 5 years old, so you're getting an out-of-school suspension.
Well, they become, like, politically correct, overboard. It's like an overdose of politically correct in the country. And they don't give the children the chance to develop like we did as children, where you enjoy freedom of expression from the time you start school. There's like no second chances now. It's regimented. They'll grab your cell phone. You know, and the kid needs a cell phone. There's no more pay phones. All right, pay phones are taken off the street corners because drug dealers were using them for drug sales. So kids have cellular phones. Someone comes into that building, a shooter, and the kid doesn't have a cellular phone. You know, doesn't make sense, but they have all kinds of restrictions on children now. I'm not an educator, so I don't know, but that is kind of, you know, doesn't make sense.
But you have more common sense, Jim, than most people that I do meet, and when we policy our way out of common sense, it is something that is discouraging as a society as a whole. And I think that if you're in kindergarten, there's not a whole lot for that, and there were hundreds of children that were impacted. it just seems to me like it's not a good decision. And to pick up on the thread of what you were saying earlier about too much violence and too many ways to not allow kids the ability to use their own imagination or to be able to be creative, artistic, allowing their mind to come up with other problem-solving techniques. And it's difficult, I think, in whatever society or whatever area of New Jersey or across the country we're in, but I think it's critical to be able to develop good relations with the police and make sure that the police are able to interface with the children while they're in school, and we could build a relationship together. That's how we build trust and rebuild trust when it's necessary.
True. But there is a lack of trust by society towards the police officers. And that has to be healed somehow, some way.
And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are the media. The media has a philosophy that they go by, and they don't stray from it. And it's to make the comfortable uncomfortable and the uncomfortable comfortable. And what they'll do is, if there's a shooting or some sort of thing that happens, white cop shoots a black teen or a perpetrator, whatever it is, the media will jump on it, and you'll never hear the end. You'll just keep hearing it over and over and over again, because they're comforting one aspect of people who are uncomfortable at that time. Okay, they don't care about the other person. They don't care about what was right or wrong. They don't care about collecting all the information before they make a judgment call, letting the, you know, the criminal justice system take its course. We have the greatest criminal justice system in the world. I have faith in it, and that is why these people are found not guilty when the media is pushing and pushing and pushing for police women to be charged with murder. The criminal justice system is not built that way. The minds of the media is built that way because that's what makes news. You know, they're supposed to report the news, but they don't. They create the news. And that's where the problem stems. And the more people that listen to this and they believe it, they're finally catching on now, seeing that the media now is more of a creating news than reporting news, and hopefully it'll help.
Those are some great points, Jim, and I like the way you put that. We're going to do a quick commercial break. I wrote that down, actually. That was pretty good, about the comforting pieces and thinking about the media and how they create news instead of just reporting it and impact society with their own opinions that are supposed to be neutral. We're going to do a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk a little bit more with Jim, our retired captain, law enforcement, and see what other impacts society can have to heal and trust one another again. Stay with us.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Hey, Pat. Know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb.
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
This is Georgine Trickle, your host, Hot and Hunterdon, and we're talking about really building police relations and the trust, and talking to a retired police captain. And Jim is sharing some of his thoughts. And just to sum them up a little bit is some things he's told us over the course of our hour and reminded us. And maybe if we can all take some notice of this, he reminded us not to be obsessed, that we can't be obsessed and we can't take things too personally, especially those that are on the job. We have to trust the system. There are reasons that the system is in place and it works, and we can't judge the system. We just have to trust in it. We need to limit our unnecessary exposure to violence. It is a cruel world out there, and seeing shooting and blood and gore every second of every day is not good or healthy, and we really should limit our unnecessary exposure to violence. There's enough violence in this world that we can't control, so let's not let so much unnecessary violence seep into our lives. We should let children be children, let them express themselves, be flexible with them. And, of course, what he was just saying about the media is to take it with a grain of salt, to make sure that what we're looking at is unbiased. If it's not unbiased, make sure it's in the opinion section of the newspaper or an op-ed piece, but make sure it's not the front page. And if you see it is, make people accountable for that in the media. Maybe some of these things can help us to rebuild trust in the community. And I still have Jim on the phone with me. And I do just want to touch on something I wanted to talk about today, and Jim giving me the opportunity to do that with him on the phone, and that is the difficulty in law enforcement and the unfortunate number of suicides, especially in New Jersey, for police officers. In 2015, there were 15 police officers that committed suicide, and what we know is that there are no evidence-based studies or approaches right now to the number of police suicides. There has not been a task force on police suicide since Corzine was in office, which was a very long time ago, right, Jim?
Yeah, that is quite some time.
And we know that the numbers continue to rise. We know that there are some nonprofit groups that are trying to study this, but we know that it hasn't been studied in some time on a consistent basis. And we know that because police officers, they are our heroes. And not just police officers, but veterans. And as Jim has been talking about throughout the hour, the emergency EMTs, the firefighters, people that are first responders have a higher risk because of what they see day in and day out. It's not always just that one event, but it's the series of events over a series of time. What people might be surprised to know is on the police suicide piece, statistically, they have been on the job about 14 to 15 years, and the average age of someone who commits suicide in law enforcement is between 41 and 42. So these are compelling reasons why we do need to show support to law enforcement, because I have to think that if you are having, and we want to talk about suicide prevention in the context of mental health awareness, of course, to make sure people understand that we have to, as a society, know that even though there are heroes, they need someone to talk to, too. They have a lot of stressors. They make decisions often in a blink of an eye. They're making decisions in crisis sometimes. And when we problem solve long term, those are a different set of skills that we have to employ when we are analyzing our emotions and our options. So just wanted to bring this up while I had Jim on the phone today, and to remind everyone that it is a real problem. I think it's epidemic in nature. And I think as a society, we need to talk about it and we need to find ways to support the police. If it's putting a blue ribbon pin on, if it's going to the town, Jim thinks the blue lines make law enforcement feel a little bit better in their town or lawn signs. Do you have anything else you want to add on that, Jim?
Police officers aren't looking for accolades. Okay, they're not looking for a thank you. They're not looking for what they want basically is to not be filmed, people claiming to know their rights, being sovereign citizens, and making the job more difficult. What people don't realize is that they victimize the police more than they are victimized by themselves. This is a time of technology. Police officers have mobile data units in their cars on computer access. They can access DMVs, criminal histories, warrants. They have them on the cars where if a car passes you, they can tell you whether the car is registered, unregistered, stolen. And you just don't happen upon a police officer. You basically have done something, and now you're interacting with a police officer. Now, rather than following the protocol of, yes, sir, just doing what you're supposed to do, they agitate the whole situation and makes a police officer then respond in a way. Because the police officer has the luxury of saying, you know, okay, you can't walk away from a job, right? Someone's committed a crime, whatever it could be, a motor vehicle violation. You know, a motor vehicle violation in the state of New Jersey is an arrest, whether the police officer chooses to arrest you or not. But he or she can't walk away from the situation. They don't have that luxury. They have to do their job. And people think that by resisting arrest, they're not going to stop trying to arrest you. They're not going to go in a opposite direction. Once you're involved in an arrest or whatever it is, you're going to execute that arrest. And if people just like behave themselves, keep your hands on the steering wheel, listen to what the officer says. Yes, sir. No, sir. Whatever it takes, just to, so it makes it easier for the person, makes it easier for the cop, because you're inviting him into your world, and then he has to be a victim through the press or whatever it is, or whatever reason you decide that, you know, you don't want to be held accountable for your actions. You know, take accountability for yourself. Take self-pride. You know, that's basically all a police officer wants. It makes their job a lot easier, and they don't need the pat on the back and the thank you every day. That's not what this job is about. That's not what they got signed up for. You know, and basically that's what, you know, if your demeanor can be better, you just made their day.
Well, Jim, thanks for sharing all of that. I can't believe that. I always say radio time goes faster than any other time. It's hard to believe that we are at our hour here, but I wanted to say that last piece was so important. When you said police officers don't need or expect a thank you, it's true. They're not doing their job for gratitude. But when we can, certainly thank them or show a little gratitude. And I also like what you said about compliance or being obedient almost to the point where just listening to the orders that the officer is giving that are reasonable if you've done something wrong. And I hope together we could build some trust in the community and rebuild the relationship with law enforcement. I know that I am committed to doing it and doing whatever I can so we can move together as a country and as a community. Jim, I thank you so much for spending your hour with me here at Hot and Hunterdon. I hope you'll come back again and talk to us more about some of your experiences. You have a lifetime of great stories in there, so really appreciate you taking the time today.
You're welcome, JJ.
All right, have a great day. And we'll be coming up with Ruth Ann's Celebration Hour, so I hope you all stay with us. We'll be doing a quick commercial break and then right to the news.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The recent watchdog investigation concluded that acquiring radioactive ingredients was far too easy as mixing a cake.
New York Senator Chuck Schumer announcing the results of an investigation showing that a shell company could be set up by any individual and then obtain nuclear material. Those weapons could then be used to make dirty bombs and terror attacks. Schumer's calling for legislation to make it harder to get the nuclear material. The Supreme Court rejecting a number of items today, including a bid to revive a partisan investigation of Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. A lower court stopped a special prosecutor's investigation of possible unlawful